The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. 1-800-638-7781. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We're about to have another one of our Yes Conversations from this latest issue of Yes Magazine, celebrating its 15th anniversary. And for that anniversary, they have picked, or people who have read the magazine, work for the magazine, have picked the 15 most extraordinary people transforming the way they live. And one of those people is Lucas Benitez, who is the founder, one of the founders, of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Florida. And joins us here by phone along with Joe Parker, who is translating from Spanish to English. And Lucas, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Gracias. Thank you for having me.
So, Lucas, let's begin at the beginning, because my assumption is that there are many people, either readers or listeners, who've never heard of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. So talk about its roots and your roots.
So we began back in the early 90s, and the community of Immokalee is a farm worker community made up mostly of Mexicans, Guatemalans, and Haitians. And so we began to organize principally because of a lack of respect and an imbalance of power that was inherent to the agriculture industry and had been there for many years. We were fighting against things like poor treatment, verbal and physical abuse, and sexual harassment that many women faced in the field. So it was all of these things that brought us to look for a solution, to look for a way to change the industry that had been this way for so many years.
Lucas, you came here at 16 years old to work in the fields. And what led you to do what you did, to stand up, to fight for your rights and the rights of your fellow workers?
And so basically, when you suffer firsthand all of these abuses and you see that all of your coworkers are suffering along with you, when you see the verbal and the physical abuse that's happening to the people who are working in the fields with you, you sort of stop and think, is this America? Is this what I came to look for? Because we as immigrants and immigrants throughout the history of this country have come looking for a better future. We haven't come looking for exploitation or poor treatment, but to build a better future for ourselves and for our families. And so that is basically what caused me, and not just me, but also my coworkers, to stand up, unite, and fight for something better. We got to the moment where we decided we're not going to take this any longer. And so in my own personal experience, there was actually a time when one of my bosses tried to hit me for stopping to take a break. You know, in this line of work, your body needs a break because you're doing a lot of hard work. But unfortunately, he didn't think that it was right for me to stop and take that break, and so he tried to hit me.
And then what did you do?
So, you know, I did what I could. At the time, I weighed about 120 pounds, and the boss weighed, you know, 200, maybe even 300 pounds. It really wouldn't have been a fair fight. But I did what I could, and I told him that he couldn't hit me, that he shouldn't do that, that I had the right to take a break.
And did you?
Bueno, lo hice, pero después tuve que...
So, yes, I took the break, but afterwards I had to keep working.
So one of the stories that is often told when people talk to you or when things are written about you, Lucas Benitez, is the Ramos brothers and freeing men who were held in virtual slavery. I think that's an important story to tell, if you wouldn't mind, because of the power of it and because it still exists.
And so, unfortunately, the most extreme cases in the agricultural industry are cases of modern-day slavery. It's a problem that, as you said, continues today. In fact, I'm sure that right now, somewhere in the U.S., we can find farm workers working in situations of modern-day slavery. Modern-day slavery, as judges, as federal judges have called it, in the cases that have been prosecuted up to this point. We as the coalition have actually worked together with the federal government and the Department of Justice to prosecute some of these cases. With the case of the Ramos brothers, it was one of the last cases that came to light here in Florida. And it sort of you know, came to me to be very involved in helping bring this case to justice, to help out the farm workers who were being held. And it wasn't easy. There was a climate of fear that always existed where the workers were being kept. There were armed guards who were guarding the camp. So we knew it wouldn't be easy, but we had to take the risk to help out the people who had asked for our help. So I remember that day when we went to go and free the people who were being kept in this situation. So we made a quick plan, and the plan was that I would come in a van to where the farm workers were being held, and I would stop and open the hood as if the car had overheated, and that would be the signal to the workers who were being kept to run and run to the van and get in the van. And we were sure at that moment that there weren't guards around, and so it would be a chance for them to make an escape. And so at that moment, they ran to the van, they got in, and I drove away. And I had to drive about half a mile down Interstate 27, to make sure, until we were sure that we were far enough away that we had made an escape.
It sounds like it was a frightening moment for you and for the men. I mean, everybody was risking their lives.
Sí, era un momento bastante tenso para todos.
Yes, it was definitely a very tense moment for everyone. We knew that if they caught us or if someone realized that we had made the escape, there would be very big consequences for everyone.
So I wonder, just quickly, Lucas Benitez, how many people do you think in America today live under those kind of conditions of slavery in the fields?
I don't know an exact number. It's really impossible to say, but for sure it's thousands that are still in the situation of being held in modern-day slavery in the fields here in the United States.
Because I think most Americans really are not aware that that is going on, especially among the undocumented. Not all of them are undocumented, but especially among the undocumented that are held in conditions of slavery across the West and the South and even the North.
And so, yeah, we've seen that in cases of modern-day slavery, one's immigration status does definitely have an effect in some cases, but we've also seen that in many of the cases where we've helped investigate, that's not always the situation. So, for example, in one of the most recent cases, African-American workers were involved, and each night the boss who was keeping the workers would take away their shoes. They were living in an isolated camp, and this was his way of ensuring that they wouldn't escape.
And this was
so we do see that in many cases of modern-day slavery, it involves workers from many different places in many different situations.
I think most of America is unaware of this, and what I understand is that you and the coalition of Immokalee workers, besides fighting for better working conditions and wages for the people who pick the food that Americans eat, is to enlighten and organize the consumer as well of the food, to know what's going on.
Exactly. The campaign for fair food that we began 10 years ago is really an effort to modernize the agriculture industry here in the state of Florida and throughout the entire East Coast. And we want to make it a more humane industry. And we want to distinguish our product, the tomatoes that are grown under this program, from any other tomato that comes from here in the United States or from other countries. We have a campaign that is focused on consumers and also focused a lot on young people who are an important part of the consumer base, for example, in the fast food industry. And many young people think about tomatoes coming from a place like Walmart or, you know, coming on your hamburger at Burger King. But they don't ever really stop to think that behind this, there are human beings who are picking this food, that all of the tomatoes they're eating are picked by farm workers in the field. And we see that. So all of this we're doing together. We are consumers and workers fighting together for the same goal. And that goal is, first, to create a more just workplace for farm workers. And also, we realize that this is an opportunity for young people and people in general to really be a part of making history, to write a new history together. We just finished celebrating Martin Luther King Day, and we're proud as the coalition to have taken part in many of the marches here in the area that went on to celebrate the legacy of Martin Luther King. And we see that young people were deeply involved in the civil rights movement. And today, we continue to have young people from all over this country in universities and colleges and high schools participating in this movement, in this campaign. And we want to know that this consciousness, or we see that this consciousness is not lost on young people. And we also want them to realize that it's not just the campaign for fair food that's happening that they can take part in, but that there are also campaigns and work to be done in their own home communities and in their neighborhoods that they should also be a part of.
And the coalition of Immokalee workers, I mean, took this fight to the doors of corporate power. Tell the listeners and the readers a bit about the struggle you had with Taco Bell and McDonald's to raise the workers' salaries and how that changed things.
Yeah, and so that is the campaign for fair food. It's focused on the biggest buyers of the tomatoes that we pick, and it started with Taco Bell, and today we have 9 corporations who have signed on to the fair food agreement. First, we have all of the major players in the fast food industry. Taco Bell, which is a part of Yum Brand, McDonald's, Burger King, and Subway. And in the food service provider industry, we have Sodexo, Aramark, Bon Appetit, and Compass Group. And now we're focusing our campaign on the supermarket industry. And so corporations like Publix, which is very big here in the state of Florida and in the southeastern United States, that as of right now continues resisting being a part of the campaign, of the Fair Food Program. So companies like Trader Joe's, Stop and Shop, which is a brand of Ahold, Kroger, and many other companies who continue saying that they do not want to be a part of these new standards that are coming to the agriculture industry.
So in the end, you want what to happen? You want the consumers to know, you want where the tomatoes come from, the cost of them, and also what happens to the workers? What is the end result of what you want to see as you take on these supermarkets?
So when we finish with the supermarkets, what we really want is a complete change, a total change in the standards in the agriculture industry. And these standards include a number of benefits that are not provided for by the state laws. For example, the one penny more that we've demanded of the 9 corporations so far currently just comes from these 9 corporations. And so when the supermarkets enter into the Fair Food Program, the one penny more won't just be a bonus, but it'll actually be built into the piece rate. And it won't vary depending on which field you work in. It will be something that extends throughout the industry. And today, thanks to the support of the 9 corporations who have signed our Fair Food Agreement, we have things like access to shade in the workplace. And that's something that we couldn't have even imagined in the past, having a place, a shaded place, to go and take your break when you need a rest. Today, for the first time, women are reporting cases of sexual harassment in the fields without the fear of being fired, because that's what would have happened in the past. It would have been the woman who would have been fired and not the person who was perpetrating the case of sexual harassment. And another change that many workers have been very happy about is that we've eliminated another standard that has existed for many, many years in the agriculture industry, and that is the overfilling of buckets. And so for every 10 buckets that you're overfilling, you're actually gifting a free bucket to the growing company. And so today the standard is that you fill your bucket to the rim so that there is not a single tomato that is 100% sitting above the rim of the bucket.
So I wonder if when you look, I was thinking about the story I heard about in 1996. It was in the Yes Magazine article of the worker that was brutally beaten, that you still have his bloody shirt as you organize 500 workers to protest against this violence against this young worker who wanted to take a drink. And an amazing story. If you are still doing that kind of organizing, are the Immokalee workers still organizing new workers in addition to the focus on taking on the corporate power to raise people's wages and make living conditions better?
Certainly, those are our roots. That's something that we're always going to continue doing. We're a grassroots organization, and it's really in our veins to animate the community. We're always organizing actions here in the community. We have different demonstrations, different protests and actions almost weekly at different supermarkets like Publix here in the area. And we always know that there are new people coming into the community who maybe don't know the history of the organizing that's happened here. And so we're always looking to awaken that consciousness in our new community members. And I believe that the foundation of the success that we've had so far is the mathematical equation that we always talk about. And that is C plus C equals C. And what we mean to say is that consciousness plus commitment equals change.
That's a very powerful statement. And could you tell us as we close, Lucas, why you like to call yourself an animator rather than the leader of the movement?
I really don't believe that just one person can change things alone. Oftentimes, there's a person who is known as sort of the figurehead or someone who has been identified by the media as the spokesperson. But really, these things can't be done alone. You have to animate the community in general to be able to make any sort of change. And no one has ever done anything alone. No one has ever created a real change alone. For example, Martin Luther King, during the Civil Rights Movement, he spoke on behalf of many others, but, you know, it was thousands of people who went to jail, who were arrested in the name of these changes. It was thousands of people who marched in Alabama. And yes, Martin Luther King animated them, but they were the ones who really carried out a lot of the action. So he was an animator in his own way.
Muchas gracias, Lucas Benitez.
Gracias. Thank you very much.
It's been wonderful to have you both on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Joe Parker, who is translating from Spanish to English, and Lucas Benitez, who is the founder, one of the founders, of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Florida. Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. For Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.